You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Go out to Las Vegas and bring them in. R.J. Bell, the man who, in conjunction with our compatriot Chris Canty, they sit at 0-7 as a duo.
That's not true. That's not true.
Rick?
No, that's correct.
Is it really?
Yes,
you guys missed again last week.
It's almost impossible because I hardly lose.
Well,
so what you're saying is you're blaming me, RJ. That's what you're doing. You're trying to throw me under the bus.
I mean, I won another one with Mr. Michael K and the crew. So we're like 14-3.
Well, maybe you save your best analysis for them and you give us the stuff that you're really not sure on.
No. Just the second best stuff.
You're 2-5 on our show with your individual.
Is that right?
Owens, yeah, you took Chicago +6 last week.
Let me ask you a question. Do you start to blame yourself?
Me?
Yeah, I mean, just the whole.
I'd love to hear your rationale. Why?
I get attacked, and I'm always defensive. Let's just try to settle in and get some good information this week.
Well, I mean, the people need to know the games right off the bat. I think we have to get your pick of the week, the collaborative pick.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Here we go, RJ.
How'd he do last week? By the way,
well, here's the rub.
Yeah,
he went 0-3, so he gave you three losers.
So somehow I'm getting blamed.
You are 0-7.
It's been bad, RJ.
You are 0-7.
I don't think he's won. What is he, over 21?
He's 6-15.
But we're going to get it turned around this week, RJ.
Yes.
Week 8, here we go, halfway point. All right.
Who wins first, the Jets or Canty?
We already had that conversation.
We already had that conversation.
And you know what? Don't say the Jets or Canty. It's the Jets or you and Canty.
Chris, let me ask you a question. Which school did you go to?
You're asking me?
No. I was asking Dave.
New York Tech.
DeVry.
Seriously, you didn't go to an accredited school?
I went to New York Tech.
Okay. All right. So I know math isn't your strong suit necessarily, but think about this a second, right? If he's not winning,
he's got
how
six
can
wins.
I win?
He's got six wins.
He went 0-3.
Yeah.
How could I have won, Dave? This is not an SAT question.
Last week, you had
no chance.
Oh, by
the way, though, time out.
RJ, you talked me out of my pick. I wanted to go with the Cardinals. You talked me out of it.
Let me defend.
That was our favorite pick.
Let me defend my guy. Let me defend Chris Canty here for a quick second. You can say what you want about Canty going 0-3. Let's not forget that our good friend RJ Bell, Ron Jeremy Bell, does have a super contest that he plays in where he did, in fact, take the Patriots in a super contest.
Yeah, and I went 2-2-1, and literally in 14 weeks, I've had one losing week.
Yeah, but for some reason, you keep just now you're just focused on giving us losers. For some
I don't
reason.
Again.
Exactly.
I don't know. The only theme here is you guys, but okay.
Blame us.
So
blame
we're the common denominator. You're just gonna it's gonna hey, be on.
I mean, yes.
Okay.
Well, hang on. When you solo pick games on our show, you're 2-5. Whose fault is that?
It's because of this badgering. I mean, all joking aside, Dave, you've seen me pick.
Terrific.
Right? Me and Canty had 2 years of contests. I was like 63%, and Chris did well. Somehow he ramped it down this year. And it's bringing everything crashing down.
All right.
It's 2020, RJ. Everything is upside down. All right. Here are my picks this week. All favorites. Got the Titans laying the 6 on the road in Cincinnati. The Seahawks laying 3 at home against San Francisco. The Packers laying 6 at home against Minnesota. Which one do you like?
I can't play any of those. I object. I mean, are you purposely trying to be as square as possible?
You got to play one. Your whole mantra was, if he gives me his best three games, I can every week pick a winner of those three.
I don't think these are his best three. Now,
you think he's trying to lose?
I think he's given up. Now, here's what I would say. Remember back last year, he had his domestic help listening to every segment I did to know what I was picking, trying to – I mean, where has that gone?
Yeah, RJ, I know you got the Browns laying the 2.5 as your best bet this week. I know.
I know. I got it. But that's what I'm saying. Why not pick the Browns then?
He gave you his best three games. Your obligation is now to pick a winner of those three. There's no way he's going to go 0 for 3 again.
I listen, here's come on. Here's the question. I said that 3 times ago. Here's the question. Do you guys enjoy this more than feel the pain of your listeners? Cuz your listeners are losing with your shenanigans.
Well, if they just fade our picks, RJ,
yeah,
they'll win every single time.
Ago.
All right.
Go the other way.
I actually literally like all three of the other sides.
Okay.
Well, that's not your option.
Well, yeah, that's fine. That's fine, then, RJ. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Which
I'm
game,
being serious.
Which game, RJ, do you like the other side of most?
At least I'm hearing some passion from him. I'll go with the Packers.
So you like the Packers minus 6 or you like the Vikings plus 6?
I like the Vikings plus 6, but I'm 4. That's the one I like least amongst those picks. Meaning I like one of my best bets is the 49ers, and I cannot play with Tennessee is one of the most overrated teams in the NFL.
I knew you weren't going to like that game. I knew it.
Okay, RJ, there was a fourth game, RJ.
Okay, go ahead.
And I was talked off the ledge of this game. All right. You probably don't like this game either.
All right.
Detroit getting 2.5 at home.
Oh, I got a plus 3 in my pocket right now.
Yeah, but it's 2.5.
Yeah, but I'm still would – listen, if I bet my own money at 3, it's okay at 2.5. I mean, I don't love it at 2.5, but it's better than that massacre the other 3 is going to be.
All right, is that what you're going to go with then? You're going to go with the Lions?
You
want
to go with that one, RJ?
Oh, so much more, so much more.
Okay, right, we'll go down. With that
Detroit
one.
Yeah.
Detroit plus 2.5.
So for everyone listening – get all the money you can together.
No.
Get
no,
to the
no.
sports book in Jersey and lay it on Indianapolis, laying 2.5.
Any chance to do some handicapping?
Yeah, I think we should. Do you think, serious question, in the history of New York football, on the same weekend, the Giants and Jets have ever been a combined 31-point underdog?
Ooh, you know, I can check on that in the last 30 years.
Yeah. The Jets are getting 19.5, and the Giants are now getting 12 on Monday night.
Well, thanks for letting me know about that, Dave. Yeah, I agree. He was, like, informing me. It's like,
I was
know.
Informing the masses,
oh,
but continue
you,
along.
No, the masses. Listen to the condescending way you think about the people, man. You know, Dave, I don't know if you, in college, if you learned this, but you're supposed to speak not to the audience as a group, but as an individual. Everyone's listening by themselves, Dave. You say
yes,
you.
I understand this.
Do you understand that?
Principles of Radio 101.
So, so why go otherwise?
So you're the one to get into the analysis. The floor is yours.
All right. Let's talk about that best bet I really like, the Cleveland Browns. This is a team, and I'm going to tweet this out. I was up early this morning here in Vegas. Honestly, guys, this is one of the most shocking stats I've seen in years.
Am I writing this down for your pick of the week on our show right now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Here's a shocking amount of information. If you look at expected points added, which is a really respected way to look at quarterback play, and do a composite with expected, or let's say there's a stat that Next Gen Stats has, which talks about what is the expected completion rate, and then they say what's the plus amount that a quarterback is thrown, saying he's more accurate than you would think given the throws, okay? Is Baker Mayfield, if you just look at the all games, all situations, is 17th, all right? Russell Wilson's 1, Tannehill's 2. Makes a ton of sense, right? But if you throw out the blowout situations when a team is getting blown out or blowing another team out. So what you can do is just say, well, if the win rate expected is over 80% or less than 20, toss it. Toss that play. Baker Mayfield in that spot is the number one quarterback in the NFL. Can you imagine that? And to me, it kind of makes sense. if you look at the Ravens game, just they got dominated the Browns. Steelers dominated them. Otherwise, the Browns haven't played a bad game. And to me, the Raiders, were they soft on defense? Not great against a run. This is tailor-made. We're laying less than 3. This is a gift. I don't want to say that because I lost. One of my 6 best picks of the season, Browns.
Wow. RJ Bell joins us here on the show. RJ, from what we've seen from the Patriots over the last couple weeks, especially Cam Newton, I'm sitting here looking at this game. Bills laying 4, and I feel like I wanna take the Bills, but for some reason I'm hesitating.
I think that's a really good kind of Malcolm Gladwell-like blink reaction saying, you know something, Belichick is dangerous. He's backed in a corner. I still am not going to play the Pats. And here's why. Last week, you mentioned it. Thank you so much. I had a loser on the Pats, and I thought it was, and objectively, it was one of the best situations I've ever seen Belichick in. He had lost 2 in a row. He was undefeated. He was like 9-0, 8-0 in that spot. He was in a situation where he was under 500, which was, you know, again, a long time, like 18 years or whatever, this late in the year. And he also was against a defense. If you look at, and Chris can probably speak to this better than me, is the Seattle defense, right? So Pete Carroll and like the Chargers run a variation of it. 49ers do. How would you describe that defense, Chris?
49ers defense?
Yeah, or Seattle's, which is very similar, is my understanding.
Oh, that defense, I mean, it's a cover 3 principal defense. So they're going to put an extra defender in the box. So they're going to have 8-man fronts to try to slow down the run.
And they're like, everything's in front of them, right?
Yep.
Okay. So historically, Belichick in that type of defense has just chewed it up. It's just been a defense that he really likes. So it was a matchup edge. And finally, if you look back last week, you thought, well, Cam only had 2 practices and whatever number of days. You know, it makes sense. Maybe they look so bad against Denver. For all that to be pointing to a Patriots win. And remember, the Pats got bet up to 3 against the 49ers in that game and just got demolished. And you know what worries me the most, guys? What worries me is the defense looked bad. It wasn't just Cam. It wasn't just lack of playmakers. So as much as I'm not betting against Belichick when he's wounded, I can't play on him.
RJ, I want to ask you about the Sunday nightcap, the matchup between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Cowboys looked awful in Washington last week. I honestly don't know how this line is at more, but the Eagles are laying the 9.5. How do you see that game playing out?
I like the Eagles here, and I wish you would have picked the Eagles, perhaps even, the fact you like
well,
them.
Well, I might save that for my show picks now that you like it so much.
Oh, I do, and here's why. When you bet a bigger underdog, so Cowboys are obviously that in this case, you're not betting so much on that team. You're betting on the favorite being lackadaisical, being a little flat. And if you look at times when there's like a road favorite off a bye, when that good team isn't flat, they do exceptionally well. Off buys, teams aren't typically flat, especially on the road. Now, if you look at playoff big favorites, they do exceptionally well. So whenever you have a situation where the better team is motivated to play, they do better than 50%. To me, the Eagles cannot do anything but be lax or be fully focused. No laxness here at all. And let's be honest, they get up 15 or 14, 20. They're going to like to stretch your legs here and really rub it in because Dallas is down. They want to hurt them. I mean, let's be honest. So, not hurt them, you know, injury, but hurt them psychologically. So, to me, everything points to the Eagles. It is a big number for not a great team, but I'm almost certain this will be one of my 5 contest picks.
RJ Bell with us here, 98.7 ESPN, going around the NFL with spreads in Week 8. Tua makes his start first ever in the NFL. Spread's only 3.5 on this one, RJ. Am I missing something? I mean, the Rams seem like the appropriate play here.
I'm a little – what's the Rams' best win? I mean, let's look at the Bears last week as 1, obviously. What's their best win otherwise?
I don't remember every game they've played. They beat up on the Cowboys.
Not a lot of quality wins. Good.
Yeah, I mean, really, NFC East or only.
They destroyed the NFC East. Yeah, they were undefeated against the NFC East.
So, I mean, to me, I was high on the Rams coming in the year because I felt like this is the last year. They're going to have to dismantle some of this team just salary cap wise. And everyone thought when they traded for Ramsey last year, it was kind of stupid. But I think they understood they were going to have to win in the next year or two anyway. So go all in. I think that really motivates the team. Obviously, they have a very good coach. And McVay, I mean, to me, the situation with their coordinators, not big names, but very sharp coordinators as far as I can see. All that said, it's like they're not this good. They're not, to me, like a top five or six team. A lot of people think they are. I don't. I can't play the Dolphins zone. Here's why. Tua cannot be anything but a downgrade, at least initially. Fitzpatrick was the seventh best quarterback in the league by QBR, and that's a good stat. The idea Tua is going to be that immediately is almost impossible, especially considering, and again, I want to lean on Chris here. I love having a former player, is the whole idea of a left-handed quarterback and how it really flips everything on the blind side and all that. I mean, that's a major deal, isn't it, Chris?
No, it's a big deal, but I think that they're going to have some things to offset that. They're going to move the launch point, try to get him outside of the pocket. You saw that in the series that he was in that last game that they played. So I think
his height has something to do with that too, right?
Yeah, his height too, yeah. So I think that they'll try to do some of that to try to, you know, mitigate some of the awkwardness that that offensive line might be going through because the blind side is actually flipped.
But yeah, so in a way, you're making the point, right? They might mitigate it. Probably will, but it's still an issue. And to me, it's an issue people aren't accounting for. And that's what I try to do, Dave. I try to bring information that the audience goes, oh, really? Wow.
Well, Sizist RJ Bell joins us here on the show. RJ, listen, with no home field, I mean, the New York Giants right now are dealing with, you know, their left guard has COVID. They have, you know, some of their offensive line is currently isolated. I know, you know, 12 is a big number, but it doesn't feel like the Bucs ever take their foot off the gas. This is Monday night. Am I crazy to take the Bucs in this game?
I think you said the key thing. It's Monday night. To me, this is a perfect sandwich spot. You know, Bucs play a little old team called the Saints next week. So typically you think it's a look ahead, but it's Monday night. And Brady's Brady, and let's be honest, Brady's enjoying, and rightfully so. I was a skeptic coming in the year. Right now, I think there's real value on Tampa Bay on the Super Bowl odds. I mean, the AB to me, I'll make a prediction. If he can stay on the team, he will be one of the five most valuable players on that Bucs offense. And, you know, I'm counting linemen. I should have said maybe five most valuable on the entire team, though I don't know every defensive player. But, I mean, here's the thing about these matchups. They can stop, and again, Chris, jump in if you disagree with this. Any team pretty much has at least one good cover corner, and then they can double one receiver. Usually it's the third receiver or a back or a tight end. Or you got to be a monster, right? If you're Julio Jones, if you're one of the best of the best, maybe you do well even with the good cover guy or with the bracket or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that if your third guy is one of the, what, five best receivers in the history of the world?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, he's a little bit older, but he's a year older than he was in the one game he played last year, and he looked pretty good in that game. I think right now, if I had to take any team to win the Super Bowl, I would take Tampa Bay.
Wow. RJ, just looking ahead to the rest of the season, if you were ever going to take the Jets in the points, it feels like this Sunday would be that week. They're getting 19.5. Is that a bet that you would consider?
No, because in a way, I think the spread being discussed so much this week kind of puts it on the Chiefs' minds in a way. And I think that they're going to – but on the other hand, I'm not playing the Chiefs because this has been the ultimate flip-the-switch team. I mean, let's be candid. They let the Raiders beat them, and they let the Chargers, who, you know, probably underrated Chargers, but still, they let the Chargers almost win the game.
But, RJ, and I wanted to ask you about that because I heard you say that yesterday on the K-Show, And the fact that the last time the Chiefs did come out a little slow, they lost that game to the Raiders. Does that factor into their preparation, their mindset going into this game against the Jets?
I mean, you tell me, right? Because, I mean, you would think so. But you, when you were on the very good teams, when you guys had a close call, didn't you feel like, yeah, that's why the fact you win? You know, well, I guess in the Raiders game, they actually lost.
We learned more from losses than we did from wins.
Yeah. So, but let's think about this. How many games has it been since? Because they obviously had the Buffalo game after, right?
Yeah, which was an inclement weather game.
Yeah, and then I forget who they played last week.
Denver. Oh, they destroyed the Broncos.
Yeah. So to me, I think at some point, you're not gonna, that lesson's gonna fade a little bit, right? So, okay. But what I would say is this, and I don't say this in any joy, because I literally my second favorite city is New York, behind Vegas, but still,
of course,
the Jets are worse, maybe the worst team I've seen in about 10 years. I mean, I'm being. If you look at the stats, you know, there's a concept called expected points. So every play they grade it, and they'll say, forget if team score or not. They say, how many points does this play give you? And they just aggregate that. So all the bounces of the ball, you know, the luck kind of gets removed from it a little bit. The Jets are about minus 150 points, and the second worst team is about minus 80. Like literally from and this is true. Jacksonville is the second worst team. So from an average team to Jacksonville is the same distance from Jacksonville to the Jets. Now that is scary. 16 to 31 is 31 to 32, same distance. I don't, you know, and last week when they covered, they made 6 field goals, the Bills did, no touchdowns, and missed 2 field goals. So they had 8 chances to score, got 18 points out of it, and if they would have just had 3 more points, they would have covered.
Yeah. They still won by 8. Not like they didn't win.
That's what I'm saying. It took a miracle for the Jets just to barely cover.
All right, we got to run, but I want to ask you one more because it's the game of the week. Steelers, Ravens, started 5.5 for Baltimore, down to 3.5 for the Ravens. Who do you like in this one? We got to go quick.
I like Pittsburgh, and here's why. If you look at the season numbers, they're about even teams, but if you do a strength of schedule adjustment downward for Pittsburgh, you can say Baltimore's better. But finally, Pittsburgh's trending up, and the receivers, a couple young ones stepped up. Big Ben's getting his footing. So to me, the teams as they are today are even. So if I'm getting 4, which you can, I like Pittsburgh.
All right, RJ, I will talk to you if you're well enough.
I missed 1 day in 2.5 years. Yeah, I'll be okay, Dave. I'll be okay.
I'll talk to you in the morning. Bye. That is, of course, RJ Bell. Last week, you had a headache. You couldn't do the show with me for the hour.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
He was ducking. He was what he was doing. He had no headache.
Obviously. Well, he knew that he was on the verge of going 0-7, and he didn't want any part of it. I think is what it is. All right, home is where the heart is.
Hey, but how about that, though? C gives him his 3 games. He goes, I actually like the opposite in all 3 of those games.
Yeah. I mean, this dynamic duo, which we thought was going to be tough to deal with.
I just scrapped all of those picks, by the way. Scrapped them all. Done.
We do have to keep note of those.
Throw them away.
What were those 3? I'm not gonna count them, but what were those 3 just to keep track of?
Okay, those 3 were the Titans laying the 6, the Seahawks laying the 3, and the Packers laying the 6.
So those all go. That'll go 3-0 because he just scrapped them.
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow night on ESPN Plus, it's UFC Fight Night. Prelims begin at 4 with the main card beginning at 7, culminating with the main event. Anderson Silva against Uriah Hall. That's tomorrow night exclusively on ESPN Plus. Go to ESPNplus.com to sign up today. Also, Disney Plus, Season 2, Episode 1 of the Emmy Award-winning series The Mandalorian, streaming right now on Disney Plus. Go to DisneyPlus.com today to subscribe. All right, let's bring him in, the voice of college football, and that is the talented, wonderful Paul Feinbaum. Paul, how are you?
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're doing okay. We're confused, and we spent a good portion of the start of the show discussing this, and we're trying to make sense. We can't. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. How is the quarterback for Wisconsin out for at least 3 weeks after testing positive, and they're going to rush back Trevor Lawrence next week to be able to play against Notre Dame for Clemson after testing positive?
Well, I'll try to make this as unacademic as possible. Everyone has basically the same standards, ACC, Big 12,
SEC. You're basically out for 10-day quarantine. It could go a little bit longer depending on, you know, symptoms and then having to take a heart test. Those are the CDC guidelines. Now, here comes the big if. The Big Ten comes in after shutting down, then coming back, and they added some more teeth to it. They decided if you test positive, you're out for 21 days. Well, that's a long time, especially when you're playing an 8-game regular season with no bye week. So in essence, if you come down with it and you have to sit out, you're essentially killing your team's chances. That's the difference.
And that's what I said. So coach has it at Wisconsin. Their quarterback, after an unbelievable first game, I mean, he's out for 21. So Wisconsin season is pretty much
over.
Correct. All right. Speaking of season,
and not to get too deep into the Big Ten, but I will. You have two presidents in the Big Ten at Michigan and Michigan State. They're both physicians. One's an epidemiologist. The other one's an immunologist. In other words, they think they probably know more about all this than the rest of us, which is probably true. But they also added the teeth, really to show that we really don't want to do this, but we're going to. So as long as we're going to do it, we'll make it hard on you. And it will come up again. This is not going to be a one-off. Wisconsin, very likely, they're missing the Nebraska game. They're very likely are going to miss the Purdue game. And the chances of them, you know, doing much after that are pretty slim. You know, Trevor Lawrence is a completely different situation. We don't really know when he's going to come back, although I know what the betting line in Vegas is going to be, and that's a week from tomorrow night against Notre Dame. You hope he does fine. He's got a lot at stake. This is interesting for a lot of reasons. Not only is it, you know, important for Clemson, but, you know, I hope, and I know you guys feel the same way, that he doesn't rush back just to rush back, because, you know, no one really knows, even though we all think we do, what the ramifications are of this. Certainly for older people, but for younger people as well. And this is going to be a very interesting case to watch, to see how disciplined the physicians and the trainers are at Clemson.
Paul, what can you tell us about the backup that's stepping in, and will that make much of a difference in their matchup against Boston College this weekend?
No. He's a five-star. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, he was the number one quarterback in the country coming out last year. He's good. We haven't seen a lot of him. I wish I could pronounce his name, but you guys are welcome.
Dave can. Dave can do it.
I can't now. I don't have it in front of me. But at the beginning of the show, I could have. I'll bring it up, Paul. I'll bring it up, and I'll try to hang on. DJ, but, no, I can't do it. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, yeah. I don't know why. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is good. I like Deshaun Watson. I don't know why Clemson's backup had to have the toughest name in America, but good for him. tomorrow night won't matter. The game's at Clemson. The line went from like 31 to 23. So I don't think it's going to make much difference.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Paul, I wanted to go back and ask you, and I want to just kind of wrap it into one question. First of all, I didn't think that was a successful two-point conversion from Indiana last week. I thought that the ball hit the chalk outside on the sideline before it actually crossed the pylon. So I want your opinion on that, if that was a legitimate two-point conversion from the Hoosiers. And that leads me into the question about Ohio State, Penn State. I mean, obviously it takes a lot of the luster off this game. Does Penn State have any chance to beat the Buckeyes in Ohio State this week?
Yeah, on the two-point conversion, this has been a bad year of officiating. I mean, there's one school in the SEC that should have lost two games already, Auburn, and the officials have blown both calls. In this case, it looked like it touched it, but it doesn't matter now. The real question is, what does it do tomorrow? Penn State's best shot in this game was having 90,000 people at State College. It is one of the most ferocious atmospheres in the sport. I have not been to this game. I want to make that clear. But I've spoken to a million people who have been there, and it's a whiteout. It's crazy. But there won't be anybody there tomorrow night. So you take that off the table. And I think that was Penn State's best chance to have a frenzied atmosphere. Yeah, they're a good team. Even losing by a 2-point conversion is not going to change that. But I just think, based on a one-week sample, and it may be enough, that Ohio State is good enough. It will be close, but I think Ohio State has a lot to prove this year, and I think they'll do it tomorrow night.
Yeah, and Penn State's down to what? Their third-string running back? They have a couple freshmen in the backfield.
Yeah, they lost two. They had one of the best running back tandems in college football, and now it's all gone.
Paul, I know you've been critical, and it's because it's fun to be critical of Michigan, but do you feel like after what you've seen from Joe Milton, have they found their quarterback?
Yeah, I'm pretty depressed at the thought that Michigan might be good. And not to tell you guys anything you don't already know. I mean, the Harbaugh thing is just one of these schnicks that start and just will not end. And, you know, the fact that he just can't beat Ohio State has elongated it. But, they looked very good. I mean, that was a hard game at Minnesota, and Milton was fantastic. And I think Michigan will continue on. I don't, they deal with Penn State. Obviously, Ohio State is the big game at the end of the year, but I think the criticisms of Harbaugh will be more difficult this year and challenging.
Paul, Greg Schiano won his debut game in a return against Michigan State. What are your expectations for him and that Rutgers team, not only in this year but moving forward in terms of program building?
I like him a lot. And, you know, he's taken a lot of heat. And it's interesting to remember 3 years ago, Tennessee hired Greg Schiano to replace Butch Jones. And then a blogger, dug up something that was quite frankly not true about his time at Penn State, tried to connect him to Sandusky. It cost him the job. The school backed out of the deal, and it really hurt Schiano badly. Fortunately, Rutgers, and this was a tough negotiation, you guys remember, got him to come on board again. And I think he's their best shot. This is a program that just, you know, since Schiano, has done nothing. And it's too bad because, you know, getting in the Big Ten was a big boost for them. They've got a really good following. And I think he will be fantastic there. And that's rare for me to feel that strongly about a coach. But I do. I think he's good enough. He's that good.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. As you know, Paul, we're quarterback crazy here in New York, right? We think the Jets could replace their quarterback. Giants could replace their quarterback. So we know Trevor Lawrence, and we know Trey Lance, and we know Justin Fields. But a guy that's been talked about a lot, and people are really high on him now, Zach Wilson. That's his name, right? The kid out of BYU? What's your take on him?
Yeah, I saw him. I've seen him play twice, and yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm always hesitant just to fall in love with a quarterback that will end up destroying his career and his life by coming to New York. But he looks really good. I don't think, you know, he'll supplant Fields or Lawrence, but he is getting a lot of momentum right now, and a lot of people are excited by him. And BYU is a really good team.
Paul Feinbaum joins us on the show. Paul, last one for me. Is Nebraska trying to get themselves kicked out of the Big Ten? Is that the goal of this season?
It must be. I mean, this is just just to review, Nebraska has been in the Big Ten for 10 years. They've done nothing. They've lost. They barely have a 500 record. And then they threw a fit when the Big Ten shut down, which, okay, good for them. They started looking for another conference to play in. And what happened this week, so they lose the Wisconsin game, and you hate it. It's a big game. They go out and get another game for this weekend with Chattanooga. Chattanooga. They're not even, they're in FCS. And the athletic director says, well, you know, we needed it for a data point for the college football playoff. I mean, guys, I know I cover this more than you do, but has anyone in this group heard Nebraska ever mentioned for a college football playoff berth? I mean,
no.
It's absurd. So I think when the season's over, the Big Ten ought to just say, here's a check, get lost, go find another conference to get him. And by the way, they used to be in the Big 12, and they left there because they thought Texas ran the show.
Paul, my guys got any shot against Carolina this weekend?
No.
I don't think so. No. I mean, why do you ask me that every week?
They sold me that the program was turning around, man, in the ACC championship game last year and in the bowl game in South Florida. They told me it was turning around. It don't look that way.
No, it doesn't. And I don't know why, as a Wahoo, you can't get it through your skull that you went to a great university. It's well known. It's prestigious. But it sucks at football.
Oh, You're too much. Paul, listen, we appreciate the time. Next week, we'll dig deep into the Heisman Trophy winner of 2020. Thank you, as always.
See you next week, guys.
All right. That, of course, Paul Feinbaum. He's great.
Oh, my God. I can't take
football.
I love him. I love him.
Is he your number one?
Yeah, he's vaulted right back up.
Yeah, right back into it. All right.
Just crush me. Just crush me.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful university.
Sweatsuit on and everything. I'm excited.
That sucks at football.
Yeah.
Your school sucks at football.
Prestigious university that sucks at football.
Right,
speaking of number one, the Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys have an all-star cookout combo from Kansas City Steak, including fillets, ribeyes, stripped steaks, lobster tails.
What were those?
Strip steaks.
Strip steaks, okay.
Yeah. So I see how it goes. Okay. You almost hemorrhaged during a read earlier, and I have a blip on
I had a meltdown. I had a quick meltdown. I agree with that.
Like, I thought you might have been having an episode. I asked Santiago to check in with your home. Lobster tails and more. It's the 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails On Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Also, you have something to say?
No.
I thought you were going to jump in there. Did I mispronounce something else?
No. I got the
today on ESPN Daily, Rick. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for COVID-19. David Hale breaks down what it means for the quarterback star and his team. Then Kirk Herbstreit previews Saturday's Ohio State Penn State game on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Mind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. All right. Are you guys ready for our NFL picks week 8?
I'm ready. Give me the updated standings, please.
Updated standings. All right. You want from best to worst or worst to best?
Well, no, I got Candies because you mentioned Candies. So Candies, I got is 6
He's
and
6 and 15.
Okay.
I'm a bit better, but certainly not great at 9 and 12.
9 and 12, yep.
And you're as average can be at 10, 10, and 1. So you lead at 500.
Okay. All right.
All right, since you do lead at 500, the floor is yours. Would you like to go first, second, or third?
I like to go third just because I want to get an idea of what Canny's picks are, so in case I have to readjust.
Really? That's what we're doing? I hate you. I hate you right now.
That is the option. All right, so Chris, I don't care. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
No, I can get mine out of the way.
Okay.
I can go first. So I am going to follow RJ Bell's lead. I am going to take the Detroit Lions and lay the 2.5 at home against the Colts. Maybe that win down in Atlanta was one of those things that they can use as a springboard, as a turning point in their season. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum coming into this season said that Detroit has the possibility of being a playoff team. And if you look at the remainder of their schedule, it's possible that they can be a 9-win team. So I'm going to roll with Detroit. I'm going to take the 2.5 points. I'm also going to take the Eagles and lay the 9.5 at home against Dallas because Dallas is awful. And I don't have any confidence that they're going to figure that thing out anytime soon. That's why Jerry Jones was getting snippy on local radio down there in Texas. Like, the Dallas Cowboys are a mess. They're not going to get it fixed. And the Eagles, for as bad as they've looked at times this season, they're still the team that I have the most confidence in winning the division. So I'll lay the 9.5 points. And I'm rolling with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And I don't care what RJ Bell says about loving the Minnesota Vikings. I just trust what my eyes tell me. And Aaron Rodgers is just playing on a whole nother level, so I'm rolling with the Packers, and I'm going to lay the 6.
I like that you did that. Don't let RJ bully you. I mean, yes, this is what he does for a profession. Remember, 2 years ago, you got the better of him, and you beat the great RJ Bell.
Are you patronizing me now, or are you being serious? I can't tell.
No, I'm being serious. Okay. Like, you love a game. I mean, you have a ton of knowledge about football. Why should you not go with that game? Why should he bully you into going away from that?
That's exactly right, Dave, which is why I'm taking that game.
And good for you, and I feel good that you did that. You like that game, you stuck by it. All right.
As Dave says that he's going to take the Vikings.
I'll take the Vikings as my awesome. I will not. I absolutely will not. I asked RJ. He said, you can't take the Dolphins. But I can tell you guys, I just can't believe that Tua is going to be as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick right off the bat. I like the Rams in this game. I'm only laying 3.5 points. I mean, they've beaten up on a lot of competition. Probably should have beaten Buffalo in a tremendous comeback up in Buffalo as well. I'll take the Rams. I'll lay the 3.5. Sounds like Michael Thomas may come back this week. I've seen enough from the Bears. The Bear, I don't care if it's Foles. I don't care if it's Trubisky. They stink. David Montgomery is not good. Their offensive line is not good. Their quarterback is not good. They have one guy on that offense that worries you, and that's Allen Robinson. But if Michael Thomas returns, they're going to score points. They're going to score, I don't know, 27, 24 points. The Bears not going to get to more than 14, I wouldn't think. I'll take the Saints, and I'll lay the 5 against Chicago. And I'm jumping on the Chris Kenny bandwagon here because he usually likes this team, and he did. I think he said he liked them, and then he backed away when RJ got in his head. I'm going to take Seattle. All right, San Francisco is still a mess. I know Seattle's defense is not good, but they're going to put up a lot of points in that game, and I think their defense makes enough stop to win that by more than 3. So I'll take the Seahawks and lay the 3. Rams 3.5, Saints 5, Seahawks 3, all favorites. Very successful this week for me.
All right, here we go. I agree with you, Dave. I mean, you also failed to mention, I mean, you mentioned Allen Robinson. He's in concussion protocol, so he may not even play. It looks like Michael Thomas had a really good practice, so he could play. So I'll take the Saints. I'll lay the 5.
Okay.
You're going to hate this, but I'm going to pick it. I'm going to take Tampa on Monday night. And I got 11.5. You got 11.5 or 12?
I got 12, but whatever.
If you got 12, I'll lay the 12 with Tampa. Okay. And then I hate to do it, but, I mean, I'm going to have to because I actually liked this game before he even said it. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
You going with the Eagles?
I don't want to, but I'm going to. I'll go with the Eagles, and I'll lay the 9.5.
All right. So you got 3 favorites, just like me. New Orleans -5, Tampa -12, and Philadelphia -9. Why would I be upset that you're taking Tampa? The Giants are going to get run out of the building on Monday Night Football.
I don't like to hurt your feelings. I know you get sensitive once in a while. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
I don't know. I'm dead with the Giants. It doesn't bother me. Any modicum of life left was completely ripped away last Thursday night when they blew that game.
Oh, that's fine. I'm you're my friend. I love you, and I just want to make sure that I don't do anything to upset you.
Well, I appreciate that, but you're not going to upset me. We got to have winning. We got to have successful weeks, by the way. I mean, this is terrible.
I desperately need a 3-0 week. Desperately.
We could just get rid of the picks if you'd like. I mean, I'd be more than happy to do that.
No, we have to make picks. Stop.
Free me up
picks
on Sunday.
We have to do picks.
You guys want to free me up on Sunday a little bit?
I mean, the fact that you are so motivated watching these selections on Sunday that you're crazed with my picks and Todd Gurley getting into the end zone or not against Detroit.
He is not a smart football player, by the way. He made another bonehead play last night. Just go down. You don't go. Why are you stopping the clock going out of bounds?
Yeah. It didn't cost him last night, but you're right.
I mean, come on. It's third and long. You know, I mean, you're not picking up the first down. Just go out. Let's keep the clock moving. Come on now. Think the game.
How about Calvin Ridley going down last night, huh?
Oh. Big injury. He's so good, too.
He is so good.
So Julio good. Jones is a beast.
Yeah.
Put him to work early last terrific. Night, didn't they?
Whew. He destroys Carolina.
Got him involved in that game early. You know, it's a shame with Atlanta. They should be 5-3 right now.
They're playing for this coach, too, now.
Raheem Morris, yeah.
And their offense is good. So we'll see what happens.
But that's a team that should be absolutely within playoff contention, having 7 teams in the NFC. And they're not. They'll never get to the postseason at 2-6.
No, not now, but I mean, at least they're playing. I mean, at least they're playing motivated football.
Yeah, they're 2-3 under Raheem Morris. So,
yeah. Well, 2-1, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've won 2 of the last 3.
Right. Yeah, but Ira from Staten Island is right, and it's such a sad state of New York football. I'm watching that game last night, thinking, all right, come on, Falcons, you win this game, and it's good for the Giants, and it's good for the Jets. To be week 8, and that's your mindset watching these games is really bad.
Yeah, but that's what it's been. I mean, that's where we've been in New York football, unfortunately.
But it's bad. Like, New York football is bad. Like I said, I mean, the Jets and Giants combined are getting 31.5 points this weekend.
Now, I was thinking about taking Kansas City, but I just don't want to root against the Jets. I don't want to root against Sam Darnold.
Well, you could root for Sam Darnold and still not cover the number.
Well, no, because I want him to score. I want them to score points. I want him to do well. It was actually nice last week rooting for the Jets because the Canty bet against them.
They covered that game.
I was hoping he took Kansas City.
I think Kansas City will cover the number.
Ugh. You think they can win by 3 touchdowns in this game? Oh, it's amazing.
Dave, you heard what Chris Jones said. Just saying. It sounds ridiculous.
Good. No. He said they were good, and then he went back and he took a second. He said, no. They're very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Which I think
they had four total yards in the second half against the Bills. I mean,
they're very good.
I'm just saying that's what the coaching staff is telling the players all week long. That's all I'm saying.
Of course.
They're going to be motivated. It's going to be a blowout.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.